Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm going to ask and answer a question. What does God do when he shows up in a person's life? Well, he does the unexpected. And we saw that in the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham's just minding his own business, living his life, and then God shows up, and he does the unexpected. He blesses Abraham, and he promises all these outlandish things. And that is totally unexpected. I mean, if God shows up, well, most of us are going to think he's going to bring condemnation and judgment and punishment. But that's not the God of grace. The God of grace brings blessings and promises to each and every one of us. And that promise that he brought to Abraham was fulfilled in Christ, and we actually get to be partakers of it. And we see that in Galatians chapter 3. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for it. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So we don't live by law, we live by promise. That promise was made to Abraham, it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and it is experienced for each and every one of us by faith, and we receive the promised Holy Spirit. And we get to enjoy new life in Christ, and to enjoy his love, his grace, his forgiveness forever. So when God shows up, he does the unexpected. When he showed up in your life, he gave you the gift of God's Spirit. And that new life that you have through faith in Christ Jesus is experienced not in the old covenant, but in the new covenant. And that is such a vital piece of information, a vital truth that we all really need to know, because that truth will absolutely set us free. So it's just amazing to see how God works in our lives and how he does the unexpected for each and every one of us, and how that started way back when he showed up in Abraham's life and brought blessings and promises. This is a great passage, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, and you ask the question then, well, why does the law even turn up? Why do we even see the law in the Old Testament? And this same passage answers that. I mean, the law was added, but it was 430 years later. You know, it kind of makes me think of a car deal when you go down to the car dealership and you're trying to negotiate with somebody on a Honda Civic, let's say, and you've got it down to $20,500. You walk away, you've signed the contract, you've got the car, it's in your garage, and then 430 days later, the dealer calls you and says, hey, we got to renegotiate, man. That wasn't the deal that I was hoping for. Here's a new deal. Well, if you get that kind of phone call, don't answer. Don't go downtown to the dealership to try to renegotiate what's already been done. And so it is with the law. I mean, 430 years later, that is not an addendum to the original deal. That's not an add-on. The law came in for a totally different purpose. It has nothing to do with the original promise. The law came in to show people their sin, but the answer to that sin problem is not the law. The answer to that sin problem is the original promise given to Abraham, and the law is not an add-on, it's not an addendum, it's not an appendix, it's not a do-over. It is simply to show us our sin and our need for faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes, so we have this powerful promise. It is made real for us through faith in Christ Jesus, and we receive the gift of God's Spirit. That's new life. That's what we all long for. That's what we need. And that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's why we call this the good news.
It is good news. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. And we're talking about this new covenant this month, and we want you and your family and friends to know and enter into all that God has provided for us. And our CD message called We Are New Covenant will be a tremendous help in doing that. As you make your gift this month, we're going to send you not one, but five copies of this great message. So if you have heard the message of grace in Jesus Christ, don't keep it to yourself. Get these CDs and put them into the hands of those you love and associate with. Let's get this message out far and wide. Make your gift at basicgospel.net or by using the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, please donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And as you give to support Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you five copies of We Are New Covenant. Well, Bob, talk to our listeners just a little bit about the opening still remaining for Israel.
We do have some spots available for our trip. It's May 25th through June 6th. Perfect time of the year to go to Israel. All the information on how you can join us on this particular trip is online at basicgospel.net. We have a banner right at the top of the page. Just click that, and you'll see the schedule, the itinerary, all the places that we're going to go. It's just going to be a fascinating trip. We want you to be there with us. We want you to join us. So come be a part of it. Go to basicgospel.net. If you have questions, call the office. I would be glad to speak to anybody. Answer all your questions, and if that's what you need, that will get you off the fence and signing up, I'd be glad to do that. So, again, all the information is online at basicgospel.net.
Okay, in the meantime, let's hear from Gene in California.
Yeah, this is Gene from Mountain Valley Springs, California. And I have three friends that I've been witnessing to, and they have become believers, and I know beyond a shadow of doubt that they would never deny Jesus Christ. Never. I know that for a fact. But I see no change in their rhetoric or their language and sometimes actions. But anyway, I'd like to get your take on all of that and see what you have to say, okay? Thank you, and God bless, and I appreciate everything you guys do.
Well, boy, that's a great question. And yesterday we dealt with that a little bit. How do you know that you've received the Holy Spirit? And we talked about the fact that God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we belong to Christ, that we are children of God. The Spirit of God himself cries out, Abba, Father. So those are some realities that we have that really confirm that indeed we belong to Jesus Christ. I think some other things that start to happen is that you start to recognize that you have a new identity, that you have new desires, and that you don't belong in the places that you used to hang out in. I remember when this message really hit home in my heart, I started feeling out of place. And it wasn't because of anything I was doing. That was just the presence of Christ in me, the fact that I was in the light, not in darkness. So we see some of those sort of things. But as far as new believers are concerned, we certainly don't want to be fruit inspectors.
No.
We don't want to judge their relationship with Christ based on some of the things they might be saying or doing. We just need to allow Christ to do his work in a person's life and keep encouraging a person in understanding who Jesus is and who they are in Jesus, and leave the results of that in God's hands. And, boy, it makes for a much easier life, doesn't it?
Yeah, Bob, I agree with that. I mean, you look at Colossians chapter 2, and Paul is encouraging them to hold fast to Jesus and put their confidence in a growth that comes from God. And I think that's what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, the age-old illustration is that you can stand out in a vineyard and, well, around 2 o'clock in the morning, you can hear those grapes trying to grow, just trying to grow. Well, you know that's not the case. I mean, God has just set that vineyard up to grow, and it's going to produce fruit because of the vine. And there's a growth that comes from God, and that's the growth that we need to trust. I know we're always looking for the fast track to spiritual growth. We hear about 3 steps to growth and 5 ways to grow, and you know, we just need to be careful that we're always fixing our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, and that is Jesus. And I guess I would just say, why do we need to grow so fast? Why is it so important for us to be on some sort of fast track to growth in our understanding? The reality is we're righteous the whole while. We're holy and blameless and righteous and accepted and loved, whether we're a baby Christian or been a believer for 50 years. We are just as loved and just as righteous and just as accepted. So when we bask in the love of God, we don't need a timetable. We don't need to put a deadline on things for God. We can, as Colossians 2 talks about, we can grow with the growth that comes from God.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Gene. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Pontiac, Michigan, and talk to Gary listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, I'm thankful for your program and thankful for the Word of God. And I have a question that said in Romans 11, it says, I say, then hath God cast away his people. God forbid for us and an Israelite. Number one, when Jesus came, we know the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. I want people to read that because he said the meek and the humble will inherit the earth. And then he talked about the pure in heart and the righteous will go to heaven. So anyways, in Romans 11, it says, well, God cast off his people. So we now are Christians. We know about the Lord. And according to Romans 11, God blinded the Jews. So most of the Jews have been blinded to this time. And I believe because of the covenant they have with Abraham and Jesus is God, that he will save Jewish people based on Matthew 5. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I would say this. I don't believe that God is blinding people today. I think that the Bible actually tells us, Paul tells us that it's Satan who is blinding the minds of the unbeliever. And so I would never want to ascribe to God what is actually the work of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, talking about Satan, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So when we get over to Romans 11, I mean, the point there is, God has not abandoned Israel. God is still for Israel, but he's also for Gentiles. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. So when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself, not just Jews, not just Gentiles. But in the new covenant, we see the unification of these two groups as God has his arms open wide, calling anyone and everyone to the table to feast on his goodness. So I don't think God is looking at lineage or heritage or nationality. At this point, he is looking at human hearts and their willingness to call upon his name to be saved. So that's the message of Romans. The first half of Romans, the first several chapters anyway, they say if you're a Jewish person, you're condemned under the law. If you're a Gentile person, you're condemned by your conscience. Either way, you're dead, spiritually dead. And then by the time Romans concludes, we figure out, well, you know what? If you're a Jewish person or a Gentile person, the gospel has been extended to you. God is not showing favoritism. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I think that's the big snapshot of what Romans is trying to tell us.
Yeah, and there's certainly a remnant that are being saved by grace, just as we're being saved by grace. And you know the meeting place for God and man is a mercy seat, and Jesus Christ is that mercy seat. And so if we're going to have life, if we're going to have this new life in him, it's going to be through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And what we see as far as Israel at large right now, they have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And so there's a hardening that has come to them in that rejection. But that hardening has meant blessings for the Gentiles. So this message has gone out in full force to the Gentile world. But there's going to come a time when the Jewish people, the Israel, will recognize and they will meet God at the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is named Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. Glad you're here. Again, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. You know, friends, the book of Revelation tends to strike abject fear or prompt unfounded speculation, but for the Apostle John, the revelation was a blessing, both to his heart and his soul, and it can be for you as well. Richard Piper's 8-CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery, is about Jesus, and we invite you to join Richard as he unveils the majesty and splendor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation, It's No Mystery. You can order your copy today at store.basicgospel.net, or you can order by phone at 844-322-2742. Revelation reveals the hope of the gospel, a victorious future secured by the blood of the Lamb. Again, you can order this excellent series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
I've got a friend of mine that's almost become humor to us. About 10 years ago, I invited him to lunch one Friday, and it was at Ash Wednesday. Oh, not the Friday after Ash Wednesday. And he said, well, I said, what do you want to go eat? I said, let's go eat some barbecue. He said, well, I can't eat meat, so let's go eat fish. And so it became kind of humorous because I was trying to explain to him that meat was a fish is a meat. So every year he texts me and says, what are you going to give up
for Lent?
Every Ash for Lent, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same old thing. This year I told him I'm not going to clean my dryer filter for 40 days.
Andrew, I think you're giving up Lent for Lent this year, huh?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Don't pick your belly button.
But, it's interesting.
Anyway, the thing is, I know it comes from the tradition of man, okay? Mm-hmm. But it takes away from the freedom that's in Christ. And it's really no joking matter with me, because you go out, you get hammered the night before, you give up something for 40 days, but you're not going to make it 10, 15 days before you break it. And it just sets a person up for to not see our real identity in Christ. And there'll be tonight, thousands and thousands of people will get some little ash cross upon their forehead and then promise something that they won't be able to keep. And I just wonder if I could hear you speak on it, and maybe I can relate better to him.
Well, guys, we just need to recognize the fullness of the gospel, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the 40 days of Lent are. Christians are trying to replicate Jesus's sacrifice. Well, you can't do that. I mean, you know, us giving up a pizza or chocolate or meat or whatever it is for a week or a month or whatever, that is just a focus on what we're doing and what sacrifices we're making. And, you know, right around this time of year, we're supposed to be looking at the resurrection of Jesus, thinking about the cross and the resurrection and his sacrifice and his life given to us, rather than us trying to give him some sacrifice. I mean, the Bible talks about a sacrifice, all right, that we can give, but it's the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So, you know, you do a quick survey of the word fast in the New Testament letters, and I think we've just blown this thing way out of proportion. I mean, the number one use of the word fast in New Testament epistles is to hold fast. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to the head. Hold fast to the truth. And we're busy worrying about how much food we're eating. And the reality is Jesus gave his life. And he resurrected from the dead to give us that life. And that's what we need to be fixing our eyes on. We don't need to be making sacrifices for Jesus. We need to be celebrating his sacrifice for us.
Does that help, Clay?
I'm gonna send him, have him listen to the program tonight.
Yeah.
Good. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Clay.
Thanks for your call.
Much.
We sure appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's listen to this call.
Hey, Bob, I'm just calling on a question. Shouldn't we keep the Ten Commandments in order to, especially the Sabbath, in order to keep a relationship with God? I know that it's not by works and it's through the grace of God, but shouldn't that help us keep a stronger relationship and convince us of our sins and humble ourselves as we practice righteousness and to help other sinners come to Christ?
Well, we certainly can't mix law and grace, can we? The law, the law had a purpose, and that was to show us our sinfulness. And once the law has fulfilled that purpose, it steps aside and gives way for Jesus to do his thing in and through us. And that's to save us and to give us his very life. And once we've received his life, we're led by the Spirit of God. So we're no longer under the law, we're under the grace, under the grace of God. So if we try to mix those two, we're just going to make a mess of things. We're going to make a mess of the Christian life. And that's what we're seeing out there in Christendom today.
Yes,
it's a messy religious business. And the reason is because of the mixed messages. We're trying to mix law and grace, and when we do, we ruin the purpose of both. So we have this eternal rest in Jesus Christ. We've rested from our works just as he rested from his. And that's the place for this relationship with him starts to grow and flourish. But that's by grace through faith. So no trying to live up to the Big Ten is going to mess you up, isn't it?
Well, I mean, did you get saved by the Sabbath? No, you didn't get saved by the Sabbath. So now the question is, are we going to keep the relationship? That was the way it was expressed in the call. And I would say we need to go back to how did we get saved? We did not get saved by observing a day. Therefore, we do not keep the relationship by observing a day. And so you also, anytime we get into the business of saying grace, but I know we're saved by grace, but well, watch out for that grace, but expression, because, you know, it isn't grace to start and then some other method to finish. And probably one of the most popular theologies out there concerning this is, oh, yeah, you're dead to the ceremonial law, but you still need the moral law. You're dead to certain parts of the law, but you still need the Ten Commandments. Well, you know, just put that to the test. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says there was a ministry on stone. And that ministry on stone is the Ten Commandments. That's the only part of the law on stone. And that ministry in 2 Corinthians 3 is called a ministry of condemnation and death. I mean, the caller here, he's talking about how we need to practice righteousness by looking to the Ten Commandments. Well, there's not going to be any righteousness practiced. I mean, Paul tried that, and he ended up with coveting of every kind. What was he under? Thou shalt not covet. Where does that come from? It comes from the Ten Commandments. You put me under the Ten Commandments, and sin is excited, and I experience sin of every kind. So we need to stop this business about how the ceremonial law, yeah, we're dead to that, but the moral law, we still need that as Christians. No, we need to take Jesus for his blood, but also for his life-giving spirit. It's not just about his blood sacrifice. It's about his spirit given to us so that we can bear the fruit of the spirit, not the fruit of the law.
Yeah, it gets right back to what we started with. It's that blessing of promise that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not old covenant believers. We're new covenant believers, and that's where we need to live.
Well, friends, this message needs to get out far and wide, and that's why we are offering 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, when you make your March gift to Basic Gospel. In essence, Jesus said that if you have the light, don't hide it. Let your light shine before men so that they may see the good works, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. And one way you can let your light shine is by sharing these CDs with your family and friends. Make your March gift at BasicGospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Canadian friends, please visit BasicGospel.net/Canada. And when you do, we're going to send you 5 copies of We Are New Covenant so you can help let the light shine. Remember, too, friends, that if you have a question later today or overnight, call our listener line, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.